Good morning, Northridge. How's everyone doing? Yes, it's so good to be back. My name is Steve Carter, if we've never met. I used to live in Chicago, but 6 weeks ago, my family and I, we moved to Phoenix, and it snowed this week there. Everyone was like, thanks a lot for bringing the snow. But hey, it's an honor to be back here. I love this church. I love what God is doing here in Plymouth and in Brighton and Groseal. Like, there is so much good that is stirring at Northridge. Would you agree? Yeah. Pastor Brad has just been an amazing friend and mentor to me over the years. I'm just so thankful to be here. And we're going to kick off a brand new series, and it's called Stronger. I don't know about you, but I know that there are some areas in my journey with Jesus that I just want to get stronger in. Not stronger in my own strength, but stronger in the Word and stronger in Christ and stronger in what He teaches us on how to live the most beautiful and compelling life possible. And so we're going to be kind of looking at a handful of topics over the coming weeks so that each of us can get stronger in those areas. And the first one is we are going to look at getting stronger in forgiveness. Now, here's the thing. For many of us, we come in here without us even really knowing it, and we're just carrying something. And we're carrying a number of things, maybe things from the past that people have said to us, some things that maybe have been done unto us, ways in which we've been hurt. And yet for many of us, we just don't know what to do with that. I'll tell you this. I have a friend who is a counselor in California, and he told me that 75% of the people who pay him money to sit on a couch across from him and share what they're walking through, he said 75% of his meetings are helping people learn how to forgive. Most people don't know how to forgive. A lot of people don't want to forgive. And the truth is, scientists, biologists, the anthropologists, they are realizing that unprocessed forgiveness is actually doing great harm to the body. And we know this when we think about ulcers, but when you think about the pains that go in your neck or in your jaw or in your shoulders and how you carry some of these past wounds. And the truth is, Jesus never created you and wanted you to have to carry all of this weight. And God's whole desire is that you would be someone who could walk in grace and walk freely and lightly. But the truth is, for many of us, we just don't know how to do it. And also, many of us, we don't want to do it. We've grown so accustomed to carrying this weight and carrying this baggage and carrying this pain. And the truth is, we don't know how to live in freedom. And the stronger you get in forgiveness, the stronger you will get freedom. And I want you, Northridge, to experience the full freedom that's found in Christ. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to unpack the two Greek words that kind of represent what forgiveness is all about and how the first century disciples would have understood what it means to be people who are stronger in forgiveness. We'll begin in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, if you have a Bible. And this is where Jesus has been asked by his disciples, Lord, teach us how to pray. And when you asked a rabbi, teach us how to pray, you were asking him, hey, what gets you up in the morning? What's your mission? What's your hope? What do you desire? And so Jesus gives the greatest prayer ever. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed, holy, set apart is your name. Your kingdom come. I want your will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And then he talks about bread, giving us today our daily bread. And then in verse 12, he says this, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now this word forgive in Greek, the one that Jesus used, is this word aphemi. Let me hear you say aphemi. And it literally means this, to release and send away. To release and send away. And it has kind of its understanding based in the Old Testament. See, in Leviticus chapter 16, the holiest day to the Hebrew people was a day called Yom Kippur. And literally, Yom just means day, and Kippur means atone. It was the Day of Atonement. And during this celebration, there was one part where a priest would put on new clothes, and then this priest would come down, and then there would be these two perfect goats. And these goats, they would like kind of cast lots. It was a little like dice and rocks. And whatever goat lost, they would sacrifice that goat. And then the other goat, they would put this red string on like its ear, and then they would kind of cast all of the sin, all of the pain, the brokenness and trauma on this goat. Then they would lead it out to the wilderness, releasing it and sending that goat away. And so when Jesus says, hey, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have just wounded and hurt and said terrible things about us, he's like, you know what I want us to be? I want us to be people of aphemi. I want us to be people who can release. And I want us to be people who can send that stuff away. Here's the thing. If you're like me, though, you've been carrying some stuff. And maybe 2018 was just a year in which you realized that there was so much stuff from the past you were carrying. Maybe even just driving in here, you began to realize that a conversation, and maybe it triggered you, and you realized, man, there's something that we need to talk about. And the truth is, for many of us, we are just carrying so much weight. For some of us, the weight, it doesn't feel that bad. I mean, we've just gone quite used to it. It just is like a 25-pound sandbag that we just carry with us everywhere we go. And maybe this is just some sense of trauma that maybe you've experienced that's just, you've never been able to let that family member go. You've never been able just to kind of actually own what they said or they did to you, and you just carry it with you every day. Maybe for some of you, it's not so massive. Maybe it's just some kind of short word. Maybe some lie that someone spoke over you many, many years ago. And when you think about it, you just, it triggers you when someone gets close to you and says something. It's just like a 7.5-pound weight. And any time someone's sarcastic or someone uses a tone, it just reminds you of it. Or maybe some of it is bigger. Maybe it's someone who's maybe betrayed you. And their betrayal just hurt you because you remembered what it was like when you said certain vows to each other. Or you remember what it was like when you promised to do life together. You remember, and then all of a sudden it changed. And there was no closure, and you're just holding weight. Or maybe someone just slandered you. Or maybe they gossiped about you, and it's just complete Plato theology, right? They just kind of formed you and shaped you and showed you to the world, and other people were like, yep, that's who she is, or that's who he is. And you now walk around and you know that people see you because of that other person's framing of who you are, even though it's not true. It just makes you so angry or so sad. And you just carry it, and you don't know how to release it. It's just another 7.5-pound weight. But maybe there's just more. Maybe you've got like something that's just so painful. I mean, you've never shared it with anyone. It's just your own thing, but I can't lift it. I need two hands. And it's just with you. And all of a sudden, everywhere you go, you don't show up free. You're just kind of scared. Someone might find the secret out, or someone might find this wound out, or someone might see you like that other person saw you, and you just have internalized it. And it's just a massive 35-pound weight. Or maybe there's another just thing that you're carrying. It's just a sandbag, another one of them, another 25-pound sandbag. I mean, how many of us are just carrying all this weight? And I'll tell you, it feels so much better to not have that backpack on. I'm not sweating as much. I can feel my spleen again. I'm not like just tipping over. The truth is, like, I watch people and I know deep down you want to be free, but I look and I go, well, what are you carrying? What are you preventing you, holding you back from the freedom that God has? And for many of us, we've just never learned the truth of Ephemi. To learn how to release and send away. Here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that you forget. People will say, forgive and forget. I don't think that's really possible unless you're God. I'm not saying that. I believe that forgiveness is a process. And time again, you have to begin that process of releasing and sending it away. Because the truth is, for many of us, we have this belief that someday someone's gonna return and they're actually gonna say, I'm really, really sorry for what I said or did to you. Can I just be really, really honest? That rarely happens. I wish it happened more, but that rarely ever happens. The truth is, forgiveness is a solo sport. Forgiveness is you releasing and sending away. Reconciliation is a two-person sport. It's two people coming together and then speaking the truth and then moving forward. But when I talk about being stronger in forgiveness, I'm talking about you releasing and sending it away. But let's just think about this, because I think what prevents many of us from actually releasing and sending it away is, number one, we're afraid. Two, I think for many people, we don't want to let them off the hook. Three, we actually believe, man, someday they're going to own what they did. But can I just give you a quote from a writer named Anne Lamott? She says this, not forgiving is like drinking rat poison and waiting for the rat to die. Just thinking about this. Someone has handed you this pain, this weight, this rat poison, all of this toxic negativity, and you have just ingested it, held on to it, allowed it to live within your temple, hoping that they will actually come to their senses and take that from you. And the truth is, they're not. Sometimes they do, but most times they don't. And if you want to get stronger in forgiveness, oh man, you got to begin just to learn the art of Ephemi, release and send it away. Well, if you're like me, you probably think just like Peter and go, well, how many times am I supposed to Ephemi? How many times am I supposed to like release and send away that coworker or that family member or that friend who is wounded and hurt me? How many times am I supposed to release and send away? And so Peter in chapter 18 of the book of Matthew, verse 21 says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? And then he goes, up to seven times? See, in Jewish culture, you could like release and send away someone three times and then you could cut them off forever. And so Peter's like, I'm not gonna do three. I'm gonna times it by two and add one because I'm holy. That's what we do. Because I walk with Jesus. So we're gonna go seven. And then look what Jesus' response is. Jesus then says, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Or in other translations, it says 70 times seven times. And right here, none of us is gonna be able to kind of keep a tally or a scoreboard that goes, okay, I've forgiven you 64 times, you got six more to go. None of us do that. And so what Jesus was doing was just continuing to expand his understanding that when you enter into the process of forgiveness, friends, it is gonna be constantly a life of releasing, sending it away. Because you find yourself saying, I'm not gonna give any power to that negativity, to that toxic energy. It's not gonna live in my temple. I have chosen to live in freedom, not carry your baggage. Do you understand this? And yet for many of us, we are carrying the brokenness of another person and it's affecting us. It's like a double punch. They not only said it, but now we're carrying it. They not only did it, but now it's holding us bound and back. And yet Jesus invites us, enter into the process and see what the Spirit can do. Paul takes this even a little bit farther in the book of Ephesians. He's writing to this church, and this church had a lot of issues. But Paul tells them, in chapter 4, verse 31, get rid, like rid your temple, rid your life of all bitterness, of any seeds of bitterness. And that's literally what these weights can do. Every one of those toxic things that you are carrying, they're seeds. There's seeds that want to grow in your heart. There's seeds that want to grow in your mind. They are seeds that want to take over you. And Paul's like, you have to get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Because rage and anger, it comes from that. Get rid of it, all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, and all forms of malice. And then look what he says, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate. And here's one truth I just want you to know. Be kind to yourself. Because the process of forgiveness is deeply raw, deeply personal. Actually being someone who's gonna choose to release someone and send it away, to be someone who's gonna say, God, you're gonna deal with that. I just gotta deal with this and going deeper with you and kind of doing what your scriptures say. You gotta be kind to yourself, but also be kind and compassionate to others. And I love that word compassion. It's really the plural form of the word womb. And the idea of compassion is that you care for what has come from God's womb, from what God has birthed into the world, from what God has created. And when you are compassionate to others, you care for the things that God cares for or that God has created. Be kind and compassionate to one another. And then he says, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. I love this. You're being kind and compassionate to others, but forgive, because Christ God forgave you. And then he takes it even a little bit farther, and he says, follow God's example. I want you to follow what God did. And this is all of us as disciples of Jesus. And we are trying to follow in the footsteps of our rabbi, Jesus, and God's example. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. Not in hate, not in slander, not in sarcasm, not what we see on talk radio. No. Walk in the way of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Oh, there's a lot here, but I want you to understand this. A few years ago, I had the privilege to backpack through Chile, and I love Chile. It's a beautiful country. And while I was backpacking through this one area, there was a whole bunch of these flowers, but they had been driven over on this trail, and you could see that they were just kind of trampled on. But there was this beautiful aroma that it was just kind of lifting up. I remember, it's just like a flower like this that just had been stepped on. And it was just kind of this aroma. And here's the truth of what Paul's saying, is that when you follow Christ's example, when you walk in the way of love, when you are willing to forgive and give yourself up and kind of do that release and send away, you participate in being this fragrant offering, because that's what the cross was. The cross was this profound, fragrant offering. Now, I'll tell you what, I know some of you probably have your favorite hamburger place. The greatest fast food hamburger, hands down, is In-N-Out, would you agree? It's in California, it's moving its way east, but I'll tell you what, it's like the Shekinah glory of heaven descends in burgerly form. It's amazing. And when you eat of it, you know it's of the Lord, all right? Now, here's the thing. I used to work there because they paid you well for fast food, but then also at the end of every shift, they gave you like a free hamburger, which was awesome. As a college student, I was like, yes, free food and get paid, done. Now, here's the thing. Over the grill, they had this beautiful idea in the 50s and 60s that they actually put these massive fans above the grill. And the idea was, is that they would suck up all of the aroma, and then the fan would shoot all of this smell over the highway. Now you'd just be driving your car. You're like, hey, babe, what do you want for dinner? I don't know. In-N-Out. I want In-N-Out. And we are going to merge over 7 lanes right now on the 405. I don't care if I almost hit someone. It would get into your brain and you would just come right over. Here's the idea. The truth is, when you are someone who participates in forgiveness, you are the most pleasing aroma to God, because you are embodying the heartbeat of the cross. Second thing, it says you're going to be a fragrant offering, but then also this, you're kind of modeling the sacrifice to God, because that's what forgiveness is. It is a sacrifice. You're sacrificing, carrying someone else's brokenness and someone else's wounds that they've given to you. You're sacrificing that and saying, God, I'm releasing it, sending it away, and I'm trusting you. But we were talking about this when I was working at a church in Grand Rapids a number of years ago. And in Leviticus chapter 1, they talk about sacrifice. And in the Old Testament, you would have to bring a lamb to the temple every time you sinned. And the idea was that you would come and you would basically take your sin and put it on that lamb. And then you'd sacrifice it. It's just this wild process. And I just would constantly think about this. Like, if you sin, and then on the way home, someone cuts you off, you're like, I sinned again, I gotta go get another lamb. Like, you would just be doing this over and over and over again. And so we decided to kind of model this for our church. And so we got a lamb, and just like Glory of Christmas, like, we had a lamb on stage, and then we allowed the people to kind of come and basically just kind of put their sin on the lamb. And obviously we kind of connected that to Jesus being the Lamb of God later in the New Testament, but we just kind of put all of the sins of the people on this lamb. A couple days later, the lady who we rented or borrowed the lamb from called us and goes, what'd you do to my lamb? It's like, I don't know. Why? Did we not give it back to you? It's totally fine, right? She's like, no. I went out there today and it's dead. I was like, what? She's like, what? Tell me everything that you did to it. And I'm like, well, we fed it, we gave it water, and we laid all of our sin on it. And then I started thinking, oh my goodness, we got a lot of broken people at our church. Like, we killed a lamb. And the beauty of this is, I actually think the power of brokenness, the power of what we carry, it does something to us. And the beauty of the cross is that Jesus went and said, I want to take that from you. You were never meant to carry that on your own. And so when Paul says that we are to forgive just as Christ forgave us, he doesn't use the word aphemi to release and send away. He uses the other Greek word for forgiveness. He uses this word charismai, charismai. And it means this, to give away the grace that you have received. Isn't that beautiful? Because charis is where we get the word grace. And it's this idea, you've been given grace, and whenever you forgive, you are giving away the grace that you didn't deserve. It's powerful. And every time that we become the kind of people who lean into that, it actually takes us back to the foot of the cross. Because the truth is, every one of us had weights. Sins that we had done unto us, sin that we had done unto the Father, sin that we had done unto creation and unto others. And Jesus on the cross took all of that and said, I give you my grace for free. And now, the invitation is for you to give that same grace away. And so my mentor and I, for a number of years, we would talk about these two Greek words. We talk about how important it is to live freely and lightly, to be people who are stronger in forgiveness. And so we started to talk about, well, how do we do this? How do we be people who go deep with Jesus, do what the scriptures say, understand the power of the cross, don't carry all of this unnecessary weight, and actually live in freedom? And we came up with this phrase, and it's literally this: cross, release, send it away. Every time that you find yourself getting triggered or wounded, or someone's trying to hand you their brokenness or their weight, you have a decision. Take it to the cross. Take it to the cross, because you remember the things that you've done. You remember that Jesus forgave you. And when we forgive and we surrender, it always, always, always brings us back to the cross. And Jesus says, I forgave you. Will you forgive another? And when I start with the cross, it gets so much easier for me to aphemi, to release that person and send their baggage or their pain or the lies and that they've done or the hurt, to send that away. And again, it is a process. And there will be times I would walk out of meetings and I would just have to walk to the halls and I would just say, cross, release, send it away. Cross, release, send it away. Cross, release, send it away. I remember when I would surf in high school and college, I sometimes would have a Sharpie marker in my backpack and take it and put it on my towel. I'd pick up a rock and I would just write down a word or a name of a person. And then I'd paddle out and I'd just be out in the middle of the ocean. And then I would throw the rock as far as I could, which wasn't that far, but I would throw it as far as I could. And it was just the idea of cross, release, send it away. A family, we've been trying to teach our kids this because I watch so many kids who just shoulders are down. They're not walking in the strength of the Lord. They're not walking in confidence. And so I began to see this in my kids and I started to say, man, you can't carry all that stuff. You were never meant to carry all that stuff. And so my wife, for her birthday this year, she's an artist and she's deep and she's loves to talk about the hardest of issues, which I'm not that person, but opposites attract. But she's like, hey, for my birthday, I want us to write down the highlight of the past year, and then I want us to write down our biggest pain point of the last year and share it as a family. 5-year-old, 10-year-old, 9-year-old, and 34-year-old. You know, and so we're all just gathered around a table, and like we're doing this, and then our daughter, 5-year-old daughter says it, 10-year-old son says it, I say it, my wife says it, and then we build a fire and we talk about cross, release, send it away. We pray over them and we release it, send it away, and it burns up. Now, are they gone forever? No. Sure, the enemy wants to keep bringing it back, but we want to keep teaching the power and of the reality of the cross is that we've been given grace and the invitation is to give it away. And the reality of the cross is this too. Your shoulders aren't that big. Your shoulders aren't that big to carry all of the weight of the brokenness of others. But Jesus' shoulders are. And the deeper you go with Jesus, the deeper you will be willing to trust and surrender all of that weight. And I'll tell you what, when you actually can do it, you're freer. You're lighter. You're more connected to the cross. And the beauty of the cross is that Jesus took all of it, but then it was buried. It was buried. And then Jesus, a couple days later, comes out of it and basically says, I've even left all of that. And the invitation is for us to leave all of that. That's the beauty of baptism. Anytime people get baptized, they are entering into waters and they're saying, the old, all of it is gone. And I'm stepping in and it's brand new. A church in Colossae, it would say, clothe yourselves with compassion, clothe yourselves with kindness, clothe yourselves. It was all baptism language, because when you would get baptized in the first church, you would take off your old robe, enter into the baptism waters. We won't ever do that here, but like you literally enter into those waters and then you would put on a new robe, signifying you are different. You're not going to allow all of the old stuff to weigh you down. Friends, can I just ask you, what are you carrying right now that you were never meant to carry? And is it a person? Is it a wound? Is it a lie? But really think about that weight. And how's it working for you? Do you feel free? Do you feel alive? Do you feel filled with joy and peace? Or just going through your day, hoping you don't see that person, Going through your day just angry, and I can't let that person off the hook. Going through your day bitter. And friends, that's not what Jesus wants for you. It's not about just getting to heaven. No, no, no. It's about bringing heaven here. It's about living in peace and joy in the fullness of God today, here, and now. And I want that for you. There's an amazing writer. She's a journalist. She writes for USA Today and many of the major publications. But she wrote this in regards to her kind of report on some of the happiest, most joy-filled people. She said, this is what I found. She says this, the happiest people surround themselves with family and friends. They don't care about keeping up with the Joneses next door. They lose themselves in daily activities. And most important, they forgive easily. Let me ask you this. How easy and how quick are you to forgive? And when you get stronger in forgiveness, you get stronger in the cross. And what Jesus did for you and the grace he gave to you. And when you model charismai, you go, the grace that I didn't deserve, I'm gonna give that away. And just for a moment, who's the person that you go, I'm struggling to extend them a little grace? Maybe they're a different family member. Maybe they're a different ethnicity. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's an Ohio State Buckeye. I don't know, okay? But who's the person that you struggle with extending that grace that was so freely given to you? The truth is, when you get to the cross and you stand at the foot of the cross, you realize, I didn't deserve it. I lived less than what God had intended me to live, and he gave it to me, and he invites me to follow his example and give it to others. The second thing is this. Are you holding on to it? What would it look like for you just to release it? To really say to that wound, to that lie, to that brokenness that you've carried, what if you were just to say to it, I'm not gonna give you power anymore. I'm not gonna give you power anymore. I'm not gonna let you affect my joy. I'm not gonna let you affect the temple that the Holy Spirit lives with in me. I'm not gonna give you that power anymore. And so here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna surrender it and release it at the foot of the cross, and I'm gonna send it away. I'm gonna send it away. And again, forgiveness is a solo sport. That's on you. And you've gotta decide, will you go deep with Jesus, follow God's example, and surrender and extend the grace that you freely receive to another, and surrender the pain and the baggage that you're carrying and release it. Cross, release, and I don't know what that will look like for you to send it away. Maybe you just gotta write it on a journal. Maybe you gotta burn it. Maybe it's just something that you just need to say, cross, release, send away like I do. But whatever it is, do something to almost mark a moment to say, no, this is not gonna have residence in my head and in my heart and in my life anymore. I have to begin that process. And I tell you what, friends, you will feel better. I felt better not carrying that baggage. You will feel better. You will feel lighter and you will feel freer. So today, here's what I wanna ask you. Who do you need to forgive? Who is it? Who do you need to release? And what do you need to do to send that away? And the more that you do that, the more that you will experience the goodness of God. Amen? Amen. Let's stand for closing prayer. And here's what I need you to know. This church, it cares about you. And you might have a struggle. I don't know how to do this. Or maybe for some of you, you're like, I've never even received the gift of grace from Jesus. I want you to know that there are pastors here, leaders here, people here who want to help you. And one of the ways that they do it in the most easy, comfortable, just unassuming way is they say, all you need to do is you can text Northridge to 313131. And they'll just reach out to you and they'll help you. And they'll set up a time to connect and just to walk with you and helping you take your next best right step. Don't miss this moment. If you're struggling going, I don't know how to release that person, I don't want to, text. See what those pastors can do to help you. We'll have people up front who would love to pray for you. In the next couple weeks, we're gonna learn to get stronger in some amazing topics. And the next one is you're gonna learn the Hebrew people's battle cry. And if you get this battle cry, I guarantee every meeting, every difficult situation you walk into next week, man, it will do something inside of you. You will experience a new level of courage and bravery straight from God's word. So join us next week, bring a friend. But here's a prayer for you, a blessing, a little benediction. My brothers and sisters of Northridge Church, may you this week forgive easily. May you return to the foot of the cross. Remember the grace that was so freely given to you. May your life be this pleasing aroma to God because it models Jesus' example. May you not carry weight that you were never meant to carry. May you release it, send it away, and live freely and lightly in Christ this week. Have a blessed, blessed week. Grace and peace. See you next weekend.